and welcome to the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast, brought to you by Nestle & Associates. Nestle & Associates is an ERP organizational change management firm serving the private equity industry. Hello, my name is Jonathan Donald, the founder of Invert Ventures, a change strategy firm. I'm here with my co-host, friend and colleague, Dr. Jack Nestle, the founder of Nestle & Associates. The ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast seeks to share expertise, insight, and create effective conversations to help guide ERP organizational change to real, measurable, and verified success, expanding what we can see so that we can act in a more effective way. We seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP and organizational change community. The primary purpose of our podcast is to discuss, share, and reflect upon efficient and effective ways in which to realize ERP organizational change success. We will discuss the people, process, and technological components of ERP organizational change. This podcast is intended as a forum to study, share, and discuss ERP and organizational change. And it's our sincere hope that it's treated as a collaboration tool and resource and proves useful to you as we share lessons learned, explore best practices, and discover the human element of ERP organizational change. Our podcast is designed with a conversational tone in mind. We approach these discussions as though we were having a coffee or a bourbon with our guests. So we invite you to join, listen, and learn. Our podcast draws on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, and practitioner experience of both project successes and project failures. A general review of the themes of ERP and organizational change practice, literature, and research suggests that understanding and critically having an awareness of tactics founded in principle is fundamental to ERP organizational change success. Our podcast will discuss these tactics, discover these approaches, and understand these principles so that they may prove to be useful in addressing your ERP organizational change challenges and risks. We look forward to helping you and your organizations transform successfully. Jack?
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm looking forward to another great conversation with you and our guests today. As we are a podcast that desires to engage in valuable insight into the world of ERP organizational change success with interviews and roundtable talk, our guests include experts and pioneers in the field, organizational stakeholders, practitioners, and researchers. We are a discussion on any and all things ERP and organizational change. Our podcast is a platform for those seeking to share, learn, and reflect on ERP organizational change success.
In this episode, we will discuss a business intelligence game changer, RFID, radio frequency identification, with Mr. Gary Mosevec. Mr. Mosevec is the SML Group Senior Vice President of the Americas. Gary is an executive with a proven track record of success with global business development and management. He brings a unique combination of strategic development and execution, supported by a strong background in finance, business development, operation, and sales. Gary is known as a well-rounded, hands-on executive that leads by example and drives results across functional, global, and domestic teams. He's known for emphasizing staff and resource accountability, leading change and transformation, team alignment, and creating cost savings through functional consolidation and leveraging existing infrastructure, focused with strategic and commercial strategy. Gary brings strong competencies in business turnaround with sustained growth and leading those companies to expansion based on his nearly 20 years in various executive positions, both internal and client-facing.
Well, our next guest has in-depth expertise and experience in RFID, data solutions, and business intelligence. Gary also is a genuine and effective with a strong sense of team development, strategic thinking, and leadership. So today we want to discuss the value of RFID as a technological tool in which to provide a competitive advantage through improved business intelligence. But we will also discuss the people and processes required to implement the RFID technology. So today we would like to discuss with Gary RFID technology specifically, but also what it takes to realize RFID success in general. Last year, Gary was featured in an article in CEO magazine called Labeling Counts, in which he stated, quote, "To us, it may be the most insignificant part of a garment. That little piece of fabric is largely unnoticed until it's hanging out. But never underestimate the power of a label." To me, that's an interesting quote, so let's learn more. Gary, as a longtime friend and colleague, and as someone who has witnessed your success and leadership firsthand, we are so happy to have you on our show today.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Jonathan. I look forward to the conversation today.
All right, let's dive in.
Gary, I just want to provide some context for our listeners first. So we're going to have three parts of this conversation. We're first going to look at getting some context on RFID and its adoption in the industry. Then we're going to change gears a little bit and look at RFID today and dive into its business implications. And then finally, we're going to look at what are the pieces needed to ensure a successful RFID implementation, and what can we learn for organizational transformation based on your experience. So to start us off, I want to give our listeners who may not be familiar with RFID technology and its exposure in the industry, can you give us a brief context of what is it, what does it do, and how you see it in today's apparel industry?
Sure thing. So radio frequency identification, RFID for short, basically it's the DNA of a product, an electronic DNA. Every product that it touches, it's unique. It allows you to seamlessly move throughout your supply chain from creation all the way through consumer and even post-consumer. For the listeners, you know, view your easy pass or toll pass. That's a form of RFID. It's an active RFID.
Sure.
Whereas there's a battery power. What we're speaking of today is UHF, ultra high frequency.
Let's dive into, you're talking about the difference between active and passive. For most
Correct.
Of our listeners, I certainly don't know what the difference is. Can you give me an overview of what that universe looks like?
Sure thing. So passive RFID means there's no battery-assisted power somehow generating that signal. So radio frequency identification, RFID, allows a reader to send a signal to an inlay, and an inlay comprises of a chip and antenna. And it sends back a signal saying, 12345, again, a unique DNA. Active RFID is something that it has battery assisted and it's transmitting constantly. So as it passes that toll pass or that toll reader, again, using the context of a easy pass or a toll reader, it's sending that signal. It's like a beacon sending that signal to the reader constantly. And so that's the difference between an active RFID, which is always on, versus a passive RFID, whereas passive, the reader's actually igniting that inlay to send a signal back. So it's saying, sure. Hey, are you out there? Are you out there? And the inlay, yep. Which again is the RFID circuit, is responding, here I am, and I'm number 12345.
Wow. Okay. So just to make sure I can understand this, right? So RFID is a way of understanding and really pulling out the DNA of a product from where it's sourced to post-consumer experience. And in that world, we've got two categories, passive and active. Passive lets the scanner do the pull, and that passive sends out the response, whereas the active is always sending and is distinguished by having a battery pack. Is that right?
That is correct.
So before we move, I want to get a sense of, in the supply chain, which one is more commonly used, and where have you noticed the biggest shift for RFID?
It is definitely passive. Passive is very low price points. Again, you can basically put it on any product category within any price point that's out there, whether it's food or clothing or wine and spirits. really doesn't matter. Active, you're seeing more in a trusted transaction as well, to where you're seeing, as I keep stating, with the toll pass and things such as that, or if you're tracking large items within your, let's say, construction or what have you, and you always want to have that beacon going, then you're seeing RFID play out in that arena from an active perspective. But what we're talking about within the retail space, it really is a lower price point, and you just want it to respond to the reader. So you're always going to see us in a passive solution or ultra high frequency solution. And that's what we're referring to here for RFID. RFID covers a broad spectrum of products, but when you narrow it down between high frequencies, such as your hotel cards that you would use, that you just pass, you know, touch, or NFC, which where you use on your iPhone to pay for something, UHF is, it's using a reader. It has a very far read range. You don't have to get near it, but it doesn't have a trusted transaction. Whereas with your Apple Pay or something like that, you need to use your fingerprint or some other security in order for the transaction to take place.
So, Gary, we'll get into some more of the details in just a moment, but now that you provided some context and definition for our listeners as far as what RFID is, what in general would you say is the general business value of RFID? That is, what would be your elevator pitch to new organizations considering RFID?
Right. So imagine barcode, right? And so with barcode, you always have a line of sight. Inventory tracking, you have to touch, you have to feel. You know, even from a consumer perspective, you have to go to the cash register, they have to scan. There's a lot of touch points through the supply chain, same thing. You don't know what you have, really, at an item level. But with RFID, it's a seamless transaction. It's a non-touch point is what we're providing. Very limited touch points for RFID. You can scan 2,000 items in a matter of a second. That's how fast RFID is counting. So when you're looking at gaining efficiencies throughout your organization, all the way from this, the concept, from a development of a product through your manufacturing process to your outbound logistics to receiving it to your DC, to your store, knowing where it is, depending on what kind of structure you create for your RFID solution, it provides you that transparency without a lot of cost. Because the labor cost that it takes away, imagine counting a retail store with 4,000 items. Most retailers count once a year. With RFID, you can count every single morning before the store opens. You know exactly what you have. It brings your inventory level from where we see 70% of most of the retailers that we engage, most of the retailers we engage are at about 70% accuracy. That's the high end. With RFID, it brings you to 98% accuracy, knowing what you have and where you have it and how much of it you have. So if you want to take cost out of your process, you want to take cost out of your organization, if you want to improve your customer service and customer loyalty and satisfy your customers at the end of the day, while helping your operation, making sure that your supply chain is operating the most efficient and economic way possible, then RFID is a valuable solution for any organization.
So, Gary, I mean, obviously the huge value is the non-touch piece, right, of RFID, that RFID offers your business process. So whether it's you're using a clipboard and a pen or even a handheld scanner, the bottom line is these, you know, 2,000 items or so that you reference, you still have to touch every single one of those in order to accurately count. Whereas with RFID, it's seamless. It's touchless. And in a matter of seconds, you can count, you know, 2,000 items.
That is correct. You know, obviously the technology, there's hard to tag items. There's things that are in a different spot and physics play out. And to get higher than that, you know, to get to that final 2% or to get even the last 10% takes a little longer. But if you're in an open air environment and you're reading or in a store environment, again, depending on how things are stacked and how things are placed within display, you get 2,000 reads. That's what everybody uses as a benchmark from a reader perspective. But again, there's some variables in there with physics that impact the performance of the reader and the antenna. And that's where best-in-class inlays, again, an inlay being a chip in an antenna, which is the RFID circuit, basically that's where it comes into play as well. That's why there's so many different ones out there in the market today for different use cases in different product categories.
Sure. And kind of, I'm going to insert a quick question, Gary. And I believe that you and your organization, you actually design the chips and the inlays, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. And it's changing. It's amazing how fast the market is adopting today. I mean, really the impetus for RFID acceleration has been COVID, believe it or not, because everybody was stuck with not knowing what they have and where they have it. And not only that, when you look at it from a business process, you know, safety stock and ensuring that you have it in stock in order to say that you have one online, you have to have two sometimes. So you're never selling or picking to that last item. So we develop the inlays. We have several PhDs that develop these inlays based on different applications, different products, like metal is very hard and liquids are very hard, or it might be stacked denim. But we develop these inlays constantly to meet the demands of today's market. And that's something that we pride ourselves with having best in class.
Gary, this is fascinating. I find myself so curious. I want to take a quick change of direction, because the business results that you're describing, whether it's understanding what we actually have, taking out touch points, taking out cost, increasing the ability to sell to the last item, these are absolutely huge wins if they can be achieved for businesses. So what has been the real barrier preventing the adoption and implementation of RFID, both from a technical perspective, organizational perspective, and implementation perspective?
Yeah, sure thing. So obviously, Jeffrey Moore and crossing the chasm, or any technology that we're looking at today, you know, you always get to that point. RFID has been around for a very long time, and the price points have come down considerably to under 5 cents for the most part for an inlay. The reader technology has advanced, so you're getting accurate reads. You're getting a higher percentage faster, and the ROI is achieved much faster than it was historically. Okay. Also, the market has now become educated in what the technology and the benefits of the technology could have on an organization. Right. So you're starting to see that take shape, and there's really a lot of momentum behind it as some of these larger retailers have recently rolled out RFID and are reaping the benefits. You know, we estimate anywhere between 2 to 10% sales lift because you know what you have in stock, because you are able to sell at the full MSRP. You can imagine how many items go on clearance or how many items are stagnant in a region that doesn't, for example, it's snowing here right now. You know, we need winter coats and things like that. We may have had 2 years of mild winters and maybe they put less product in the store. So now they have to pivot and they have to move some of that product elsewhere. Well, you can't do that. You can't have an omni-channel solution without having accurate inventory or visibility to your inventory. So the price points have come down. The technology has advanced in terms of it's more secure, it's faster, it's easier to use, it's more knowledgeable in the industry. And leadership, the C-level leadership, is really starting to embrace technology and how do they leverage technology to drive efficiencies within their organizations. And that brings upon your organizational change. And that's really where you start seeing the true value in RFID, from my perspective.
That makes so much sense. Before we go on to more of the big business implications, I really want to focus on something you said earlier, which is what is right now creating the impact? You mentioned COVID as the big accelerator. Can you take us inside and share what that looks like in those conversations?
Sure thing. So like I said earlier, people were stuck, retailers were stuck not knowing what they had throughout their supply chain and realizing that a lot of the systems that they have in place are just archaic. They're not going to be very effective in knowing what they have, where they have it, and how they can pivot, you know, to deal with this, to deal with the situation, what their exposure is. But a lot of them have looked at 2020 as a year as saying, okay, technology, we're going to write this year off. Most people have written this year off, at least I have for the most part. It's been some good stuff. But at the end of the day, they're going to make the investment this year. They're really looking at, okay, we need to change. We need to transform. And that's where I think the retail space has come into play. Look at online sales versus in-store. Obviously, in-store, a lot of these non-essential businesses have been closed. But imagine, everybody's moving online. How many people are doing their holiday shopping right now online versus going into a store, dealing with the headaches? They become more comfortable, you know, dealing with online. They're trusted. So now, as a retailer, if you don't know what you have, where you have it, or you don't know how much of it do you have, then how can you ensure customer satisfaction? So what it's doing is it's providing – that metric or that opportunity for the retailer to basically know what they have. And I think that's really pushing this forth. And so as they move to more of a digital experience or an e-commerce type solution, they want to leverage the technology. They want to leverage technology in general, but this is the easiest way that it can affect every process within your organization and reap a benefit from how you do outbound auditing to how you receive goods in to how fast it's replenished from backstock to storefront, or if it's available online or not, or maybe if it's in the San Diego store, but should be in the New Jersey, you know, Secaucus, New Jersey store. They're able to see exactly where things are. So from supply chain management to all the way through brand protection, making sure goods are where they need to be and not in the gray market. So it just keeps snowballing. And that's, as you can tell, I get excited with talking about it because it's all the benefits.
Clearly.
That they're there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary, we're going to switch to business implications in just 1 second.
Yeah.
But the level of visibility that RFID gives both the supply chain and the value chain just sounds to be a totally different level of granularity than we've ever had before.
That is definitely true.
So Gary, can you share with our listeners what industries are currently deploying the highest volume of RFID? And then also, what do you predict within other industries in terms of RFID utilization in the future?
Sure thing. So obviously, apparel is driving it, the largest volume that you'll see. And apparel has been, you know, obviously facing many, many challenges with keeping loyal consumers or loyal customers, as well as having that transparency with inventory. And again, a lot of the stats that I provided were related to retail brand owners with that low accuracy of inventory. It's the biggest benefit. It also has sustainability issues. You know, if you look at it from that aspect, you know, you have goods ending up in landfills or you're sending more than what you need. So therefore it's spending more carbon or emitting more carbon by putting more product in somewhere where it doesn't need to be. So you look at your entire process. And so they're reaping those benefits. Aside from the customer loyalty, there's so many different benefits there. So when you look at who's going to have the biggest volume impact, of course, it's going to be apparel or retail in the retail space. Then you're seeing other industries like cannabis actually from a regulatory perspective getting heavily involved in this area, knowing all the way from the plant to the distributor or however it's distributed, dispensary, whatever they're calling them. You know, so that's another area. The airline industry, Delta has been very big in that with putting RFID on every baggage tag so you can track your baggage as it goes through. It's on the plane or wherever it is. So you're seeing a big push with that. And obviously food and beverage at some point we believe will definitely enter into the space as price points continue to come down and the visibility for, you know, spoilage and things like that have a big play on it. But all in all, I mean, you can apply almost any industry to RFID. It's been in the military for a very, very long time. Obviously, the volumes are pale in comparison to what you can see in retail. In fact, look at the vaccine right now. It's a form of RFID on that UPS label. And I still haven't gotten my hands on it. I doubt I ever will. But, you know, it's 4 different radio frequencies that are going through there, and it's also using GPS to track it as well. So, you know, you're seeing it all throughout logistics. Every industry is going to be impacted. Pharma's big. So testing from the vials or how you get blood drawn at some point in time has a big play in it. So it's interesting to see how this technology touches so many industries and the benefit of it. Again, it's fascinating.
So Gary, just a quick follow-up question on that. It seems like it's tremendously valuable to the entire supply chain, right? So if you have a global manufacturer that produces your widgets, or in this case apparel, they apply the tag and it's on the garment, then that's something you can use all the way to the customer, correct? To the checkout counter.
So yes, that's true. The earlier you can get the source tagging, to the source, further upstream you can get, the better. Obviously, the benefit you can yield if you put in an RFID solution, if you have readers at the dock doors to capture it as it's leaving, or even throughout your manufacturing process, depending on what you're manufacturing, you can track your manufacturing efficiency. You can track how many items don't meet your AQL. you can track exactly what went on to this or went into this box and then went on to the next phase or next stage within the distribution into the truck from that truck when it was received into your DC and from your DC, how it got to your store. You'd be amazed at how many chargebacks is what we call it between the retail store and the brand owner occurs every single day. Well, they said they shipped 5 red shirts when in reality they shipped 6, you know, or something like that. So it gives you that checks and balances. And that's the easiest way for listeners to understand RFID. Like, yeah, you may think you have 6 shirts, but you don't know exactly what you have unless you physically count it. What RFID, provided you have the right solution upstream, provides you with that DNA, as I said, that you know you have 6 red shirts. And, oh, by the way, you have 2 of them are size small, 3 of them are size medium, and 1 is size large. So it's, again, drilling it level, another dimension further and further and further down to the item level. That's why I call it the DNA of any product.
Sure, yeah.
Gary, this is really interesting. And I want to stay on this theme of DNA because you in a recent interview with CEO Magazine, we've got a quote from you that's really talking about that. I'm now going to read this for our listeners. In simple terms, each item has its own DNA. It's serialized. It's unique. RFID technology utilizes radio frequency to identify the item, providing brand owners with inventory clarity to better manage their supply chain and implement a true omni-channel solution to buy online, pick up in store, basically fulfill orders from anywhere. Now, this quote to me really highlights what visibility you give through RFID and its business implications for the rest of the organization. I want to speak specifically to omnichannel and probably to your retail experience. What do you see as the most important factor for RFID supporting omnichannel?
Sure. You know, again, not to restate what I previously stated within the article or during this conversation, but looking at it from changing a business process, that's where I ultimately see RFID's benefit. It's great to know what you have and where you have it and all of that, but what are you doing within your organization to change it? What processes are you going to put into place or modify and re-engineer? Because now you have that visibility, you have that clarity that you did not have prior. You know,
sure,
you thought you may have had it, but now you really have it. So you're going to move your supply model, okay, or your procurement model. You're going to move from just pushing as much into a market based on, you know, what you feel is the appropriate amount to more of a pull model. You're pulling it in to what's really necessary. You're able to pivot your inventory. You're able to pivot your merchandise into markets where it's needed, also based on consumer demand. You can also see what's been sitting longer, so you know what has worked, what has not worked from a development perspective or a design perspective.
Mm-hmm.
All these different things. You also know whether or not you have too much warehousing. How do you get to really understanding your supply chain? Of course, using, you know, a just-in-time or, you know, any type of agile supply chain solution, you know, you want to minimize the amount of time that you have your product sitting on a shelf. You want to get it from your manufacturing site to your consumer as fast as you possibly can. So finance people, and my background is extensive in finance, I look at all these different nodes in this supply chain is what we'll call it, and I look at every savings from a human perspective, human labor or human cost perspective in terms of, okay, that's 10% less touch or 2 minutes or 3 minutes or all the way throughout, or I need less of this or less containers.
Yeah,
and again,
it's just
an avalanche. Yeah, it's a pyramid is what we call it. Like, okay, great, get your inventory accuracy, take the next step. Now that you know what you have, how are you going to change your business process, things like that? Take another one. How do you engage the customer and leverage the technology and use data analytics? Again, it's data. RFID is providing that DNA, a data point to capture in a seamless transaction.
Gary, there's so much here, and I just want to take a step back and see if I can capture this for our listeners. So one thing is that RFID gives that whole level of visibility, but what I think you're saying is that that's just the tip of the iceberg. And the real question is, okay, so now that you have this visibility to what we can see and what we can do, what possibilities does this open for our business, both in our supply chain but how we engage with our customers. What behaviors our employees do? What systems does this create? It's really a different level of organizational change based off the data RFID provides. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. That is 100% spot on. I couldn't have said it better, actually. I think you said it a lot better than I would have.
Well, but Gary, you did it, say it. All I did is listen.
Yeah, thanks. But yes, that's exactly what you're providing. That's exactly what it's providing here. And I wish I had, you know, like a crystal ball to tell you what the next step of all this will be. But I can tell you it's transforming the market. It's transforming the industry in retail today.
Yeah.
And it will continue to do so. And you'll see, and I can't obviously name some names out there, but if you look for a little EPC logo or RFID logo on a sticker, then you know that that's an intelligent label there. It has EPC number, electronic product code, which basically is its DNA.
EPC.
On the item reference, it has EPC, electronic product code. It's basically saying, this is my item reference. It has prefix, obviously, to supplier and the typical UPC information, but item reference. And now you have this serial number as well. It's saying, hey, I'm unique. Here I am. So it's amazing.
This is totally amazing. And our listeners are in for a treat because I'm going to nerd out in this conversation about how you produce the chips and the antennas. So for our listeners that didn't know, I love this kind of stuff. Now you do. I'm so curious how your team designs these. The electronic circuits that don't need electricity or battery packs inside. Can you explain a little more detail about the technology? What does the chip look like? And then let's talk about how small it is, what kind of material you use, what kind of use cases we can do. I mean, let's really jump into it.
Sure. So in the easiest and simplest terms that I can think of, the inlay, which is what you hear me referring to, comprises of an antenna, which is an aluminum antenna that's etched onto a liner. And then from there, we place the chip, the circuit, in between or into a position to where it gives the best radio frequency or transmission. Now imagine the inlay. It has the antenna, which operates as the ears, and the chip operates as the mouth.
Okay.
So as a reader, a handheld reader or a stationary fixed reader is sending a signal out to say, hey, who's out there? The antenna, the aluminum etch, is listening. And then once it picks that up from the reader, it says, hey, you need to talk now. Transmit back. So now that chip is saying, okay, ears, I'm going to operate as the mouth, and I'm going to respond, which is basically the backscatter, saying, hey, here I am. This is who I am. So what we're doing is we're basically developing inlays, aluminum etched inlays. There's also different methods and some other technologies that we're working on as well that basically are designed based on the product. So, for example, as I was saying earlier, denim, it might be a difficult item, or it might be something that has a little bit of liquid in it, or it might have foil stamping or something like that. Everything that would impede RF transmission. Basically,
yep.
We're designing these inlays to perform at the maximum read range, the best sensitivity in terms of how it's going to communicate back to that reader. So you're taking that chip and the way that you can obviously bond it onto that antenna to create the circuit. It's very, very simple in theory, but I can't say that I can sit here and design an inlay or anything like that. That's why we have the PhDs do it.
Sure.
at our organization. But it's in simplest terms, that's how it's communicating. And as I said earlier for the listeners, go look at one of those labels or buy a product with an EPC sticker on it, peel it off, and you'll be able to see that inlay for the most part. Or even an embedded hang tag or a sew-in label that you'll see. A lot of RFID out there today in retail.
Say more about sew-in. Say more about where they can see these, because these are not large tags. I mean, these sound like quite small circuits.
Yeah, they are pretty small. Obviously, depends on the application. Again, if you're doing any type of far range or any type of densely packed, you want to have a bigger antenna. But today, the technology is advancing so much. Obviously, Moore's Law, every 18 months, we have a new circuit coming out or a new chip being designed. The technology improves 50%. But here, you're looking at a 50 by 30 millimeter antenna or sticker, basically, on a product. It's not taking a lot of real estate. It's like a inch and a half by, what's that, like an inch and three quarters, something like that. Then you have a little 42 by 16 millimeter inlay, which again is small. It's a half by, it's a three quarters by 1 inch. So you have all these different sizes that are out there. You have buttons that are near field. And again, the bigger the antenna, the larger the read range will be. Okay, the smaller it is, historically has always proven that it will get less of a read range. But the technology is catching up so fast to what the application requires that even the smaller inlays are competing with some of those 50 by 30s or a 70 by 16 millimeter. I speak in millimeters, unfortunately.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, so that's pretty much gives you the size of a price ticket. And any garment that you would see hanging off the garment, a price ticket basically would can have an inlay embedded within that. Or again, as I said, a little 42 by 16 can take a very little real estate from a packaging item. So you don't have to carve out anything for, a big placement of an antenna.
So the big takeaway for me here, besides just how cool it is that we can produce something that sends a signal without electricity inherent in it, is that this is small enough and cheap enough that it can be ubiquitous across the supply chain for garments and a host of other industries.
That is correct. And again, some of those other industries, if we were putting it on, firearms or anything like that, which there are inlays for that, or on agriculture or cows, livestock, things like that, or, like I said, agriculture from a plant perspective, different types. It depends on what your use case is. Do you need a far read range? Do you need a shorter read range? What's the environment it's sitting in? Is it going in a freezer? Is it going outside? Does it need to be some type of product that it's going to withstand extreme temperatures or get bounced around, and therefore you're going to have a hard tag, so the circuit itself is going to be embedded within some type of protective covering? All different types of solutions and applications based on the industry.
Right. And based on your ability to customize it. I mean, just fascinating.
Yeah.
Jack?
So Gary, based on what you've said so far, so RFID improves a company's visibility as to where their dollars are, right? So one thing I've said for years is that really ERP transactions represent the change or the movement of dollars, typically as a general rule, within an organization or throughout the entire supply chain. And what you're saying is that RFID paints an even more accurate, timely, and visible picture in which organizations can account for the dollars at an improved granular level. Is that a fair statement? Am I kind of summarizing your...
Very fair statement, and I would challenge any CFO out there to disprove it once it's successfully deployed from the technology.
Right.
There hasn't been many that have pulled away from this technology because they see the benefits. And then they think of 100 other use cases. And from there, as you know, organizational change is hard enough as it is. You got to make sure that you have the right leadership and the right people on board in order to make sure it's successful. Sure. Obviously, the technology, it just adds another dimension there that many don't think of. They think initially of the process as what it is today, which has obviously always been a barrier for RFID technology as well. Like, well, we're confident in our inventory accuracy. Not really. You may be accurate financially, but not down to the SKU level. You may have items out there that you think you have, and you really don't have it.
Level.
Or you may have too much of one, and it's not being out there. Yeah.
Can you define that for our listeners who may not be familiar, all the way down to the SKU level?
Right. So every item, right? So when you think about it, the SKU itself is a stock keeping unit. So you may just have, 10 red shirts. You want to drill all the way down to knowing which ones you have, okay? So it might be the medium, the small, the large, what have you. And obviously, it depends on the retailer how they're tracking that. But what it does is provide that item-level visibility based on an item, okay? You might have 10 items. Again, as I said, you may have them in stock, and you don't even know you have them in stock, but you think you have them in stock, right? Or maybe you think you have something in stock, and you go to the shelf where your consumer goes there to pick it up, or you go to fill an online order, a BOPIS order, and it's not there. So now you're waiting for your goods, and you have to turn around and say no. What is drilling down is not just from the stock keeping unit, but down to that item level. Okay, so again, looking at it as that layer being above it from a SKU level, now down to an item level, knowing exactly which size, which style, everything down to that level. from a DNA perspective. Again, this is item 123, this is item 124, this is item 125, and it's all within that stock keeping unit. But now you're drilling down to a granular, getting granular further and further into the visibility or clarity.
Got it. We're going to shift because you mentioned something very, very powerful, which is once somebody implements this technology correctly, they don't generally go back. So we're going to definitely take a look at how to look at RFDI implementations and organizational change as we continue to explore what makes this successful. But I just want to touch briefly that you've outlined operational benefits, quality benefits, financial benefits, and visibility benefits across the organization. When you're sitting down with clients, what's the most impactful to your clients? And then what's the most impactful for the people who actually work in that organization from your perspective?
Sure. Yeah, from my perspective, the way I look at it, the most impactful, again, getting everybody around that table and understanding that this is a change event that's going to take place within their organization, and that they have to realize in order to get to a favorable ROI, keep your costs low, right? Just prove it out, because you're going to start to accelerate the adoption, see the benefits. The easiest way for you to realize that is to know what you have. Again, I don't mean to repeat myself, but knowing that, now you can start to change. Okay, if you know how much money you have in your wallet, you know what you can spend. Okay, so if you know how many items you have within your entire ecosystem, an ecosystem consisting of your supplier base, your retail stores, your distribution center, when you know that and you're able to position your business around that, then it's very powerful. Now you can start changing things.
Yeah.
You look at it from how do I gain? How do I really change the way in which I conduct business, service the customer from a customer satisfaction perspective? Again, I go back to that because I look at the technology as how many times have you gone somewhere you're out of stock right now? Either you're looking at the holidays, something in stock or out of stock. I guarantee you can go to many of the stores that say they don't have something. A lot of times they have it. They just don't know they have it. Okay, or it might not be placed, or it's in a safety stock position, so it's on the floor. That means it's not available for buy online, pick up in store, BOPIS, as we're talking. So again, it's getting you that transparency throughout. It's also providing the folks that are sitting around that table with us an understanding that this is going to revolutionize evolution, really, of their business. And what it's going to allow them to do is really implement some change here and drive efficiencies and focus their energy in other areas of the business that they have to worry about. Knowing what you have, again, like I said earlier, knowing what you have in your wallet, you know what you can spend, you know what you can do. But if you don't have that visibility, if you don't know what you have, it's like your money goes into the bank, you don't know what you're spending it on, so therefore you don't know whether or not you can afford to buy that shiny new car or, you know,
sure,
go buy McDonald's.
Right.
Either way. So it's providing that. And again, getting those folks engaged, I mean, look, it's hard to get a bunch of folks around a table and say, okay, this is what we're going towards. You're always going to have the naysayers. But early on, that's why we go through a process of proof of concept, we go to a pilot, and then we go to a deployment. It's like any other operational change that you're going to experience. You're going to prove it out. You're going to test it, a bunch of iterations. You're going to change it, and then it's going to go full-scale deployment.
Well, I think, Gary, if people look at the success of RFID nowadays and the case studies, it seems like it would be pretty hard to have naysayers in terms of the benefits and value that RFID brings to the table.
Don't mean to interrupt you there. If I could just, for the listeners to understand, because they may see like a little circuit that's in a box or something like that, or see some gateways when they exit a store. That's not RFID. That's an EAS technology. It's basically not even saying that here I am. It's just triggering an alarm to say, hey, something left. I don't know what left, but it left. So a lot of listeners might think, oh, I already know what RFID is. No, it's not. It's not that. It's basically, as I said, it's just something that is totally different than what people are used to seeing or what they're used to experiencing. They don't even realize how the retailer is benefiting from it for the most part.
Right.
It sounds like it's seamless in that nobody seems to know it's there unless it's pulled by a wand. And that seems to be a huge hidden advantage.
Yeah. It's funny because that's how we approach the factories too, when they're putting a price ticket on a garment, and many of the brand owners are saying, well, how are they going to know what to do? Well, it's no different than putting a normal price ticket on a garment. They don't even know it's there. All they'll see is an EPC logo or an RFID logo. And from there, it's the same process as it would before. It's just a little bit different handling when we're moving it from our production facilities into the factories. Just a little sure. bit more sensitivity around how you handle it.
So Gary, clearly ERP solutions are designed to improve business intelligence, reporting, and promote operational visibility to the known or the unknown issues, right? But what can you tell our listeners in terms of ERP integration with RFID? Would you say that RFID is really a data collection and business intelligence tool that can layer on the top of any ERP solution? Or are there any constraints depending on current business solutions utilized within your organization? Can you share with our listeners your thoughts on that, please?
Sure. There's no constraints. It is exactly that, a data collection tool. Regardless if you're using barcodes, where now you're using a line of sight, and again, looking at physical paper flow. Back in the day, I remember scanning barcodes at the top of an invoice, and it would basically tell me, okay, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, and followed all throughout. So that way you know how it's moving throughout. Again, going back to my early ERP days of McCola and MAPS 500 and implementation like that.
Yeah.
Now it basically is doing the same thing, but there's a lot more data there for you. They basically can tell you everything that you need to know, from an item reference number to the actual serial number. And now your ERP system's catching that. And again, as you go out of a dock door, you might be updating your ERP system. Obviously, we sit within a WMS, where we sit with the POS, we're reporting back to those two systems or back into the ERP system for the back office. So again, looking at it as a data capture point or data collection point or data collection device, actually.
So on that note, Gary, as I mentioned earlier, right, it is a data collection tool. It's a mechanism to collect data. And whereas before, you know, years ago, or maybe for some organizations still today, that data input tool meant a clipboard and a pen, counting all your inventory when it came in the dock door or when it was leaving, going back to a desk somewhere and either entering this inventory adjustment essentially into an ERP or an Excel spreadsheet. Well, the next thing from that would be a handheld scanner, but you still have to touch physically every garment. And this here is just an improved mechanism. It's approved in business intelligence and data collection mechanism that can ride on top of any ERP solution, where it's a very seamless hands-off approach in terms of data collection. Fair statement?
Exactly. And it's, you know, we always promote a handheld because that's the cheapest and easiest way to get to your ROI and to really start growing with RFID, and then you can move into fixed infrastructure and readers and dock doors and things like that.
Or sure.
There's technology today to real-time location tracking. So if it moves from one site to another, again, it's cost prohibitive for many of the retailers today and many, many companies. But then again, it's out there. It really depends on your use case and how far you want to take this technology. How many more touchless points do you need in order to gain the benefit? Does it increment it enough to where it justifies that investment, or is the solution good enough as it is in using two handhelds and maybe some fixed infrastructure at dock doors in order to get the ROI that you seek or the objectives and business case that you sought after? So,
yeah.
Gary, I want to change gears here. I live in the organizational change space, and I want to really nail down how the RFID technology, when implemented correctly, how it impacts systems, behaviors, and mindsets in the real world of everyday people working in a warehouse or a retail store. What does this look like? How much time do you save, and what does this enable for organizations to consider in their ongoing transformations?
Yeah, and enables a very powerful word in this space. So imagine, and we'll use it in the context of a retailer going into a retail store and you're shopping. And meanwhile, that person has to go find a garment. They don't know where it is. They don't know if they even have it really in stock, where it is in back stock. But having an accurate system that's been tracked by RFID, having that count in the morning that basically takes them 20, 30 minutes, depending on how large their store is, could take them an hour. you know, having that visibility and their systems constantly updated gives them that transparency. So now I'm another consumer walking in and I need help, and you're nowhere to be found because you're off running away trying to find something for Jack, who's looking for a different size, and you're in the back stock and
sure.
small footprint.
Not
well, now
present.
I'm upset because I'm sitting around, I'm waiting for you, and you're not there. I actually had an experience with my wife. My wife and I had an experience like that recently, to where we were looking for somebody and there was nobody to be found. And I'm not going to name any retailers, but it was pretty discouraging. And I said, you know, forget it. We'll just order it on Amazon and call it a day, even though we were looking for that product right then and there. So again, it enables you to provide that level of service. It also enables you to draw that customer in because you have that accuracy. You know, and their confidence, my confidence of that product being there is very, very high because you've proven it to me, right? So I know if they say that they have two units or a unit in New Jersey, in Flemington, New Jersey, then I can go into that Flemington, New Jersey store and figure, you know, get the product because I have that confidence. Or they may say they have one. I may call the store and have them physically go look. Again, taking human hours or hours that are going to cost the company some money. Whereas once the consumers are confident in the store's ability to trace and track their inventory and reflect that inventory accurately within their systems, then the consumer behavior changes as well. The person working in that store, their behavior changes. You asked the question about what's their
yep.
response. I can tell you most store associates that use the technology love the technology. They embrace
wow.
the technology because it makes their lives easier. They know what they have, and obviously there's a lot of benefits there that they're not even realizing. They're dealing
sure.
with transactionals, and when the way we look at it is that, hey, now you can really embrace the technology and you take it to another step. You have employee satisfaction's increasing. Again, consumer satisfaction's increasing. Visibility is improved. So that's what we're seeing today. We never have never, or at least I have never, I'll say that, I have never heard of a customer of ours come back and say, associates hate it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to do any reads. They're just reluctant. Of course, you get that with any change. You guys know through organizational change, there's always those naysayers, as we said, and people who aren't really jumping on that bus to take that journey. But at the end of the day, most of them convert because they start benefiting from that technology. It's just like I was saying earlier about the chasm. You know,
yeah.
back in your VHS days before you got to the DVD, oh, no, I'm not going to do it, or what have you, or the, the iPhone, which was revolutionary, you know, or moving into an MP3, same difference, right? So people eventually, they adapt and they evolve and they embrace it.
So Gary, we all know that digital transformation in its many forms, and especially such as the deployment of RFID can be a challenge and highly disruptive. As it often requires a change in business processes or maybe a change in business modeling even, as you mentioned previously. In the ERP organizational change field, you know, there's this complete triad that consists of people or organizational culture, processes, and technology, and they all need to be appropriately managed, right? So, but I know you personally, and I know you personally place emphasis on leadership, organizational learning, and development. And in fact, the same CEO magazine article that we talked about previously stated that, quote, from a more personal perspective, Gary regards the development of his teams and individuals as his greatest achievements, unquote. And I can attest to that. But do you just any general thoughts regarding leadership or organizational learning and team development in terms of RFID implementation and assimilation specifically? Just any general thoughts there to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, again, going back to what we said earlier about the some of those folks in supply chain, because you're really challenging somebody at the end of the day, and that individual, you know, they take pride in what they do, and anybody does, right? And within that magazine, when I made that comment, you know, getting people to change, come out of that comfort zone and adapt, you know, it's very important, but it's powerful if the individual themselves has that capability, if they really want it. They have to be the right individual. And for the most part, you know, seeing that transformation, it happens all throughout. So when you're talking to a supply chain manager or, you know, a chief supply chain officer, and they're sitting there saying, well, we're accurate, we know what we're doing. And now you're telling them, no, not really. and your process can improve, and this is how much money you're wasting, or this is the benefit that you could realize with technology, RFID technology in particular, or if you change this process, this is what's going to happen. They'll say, well, no, there's a bunch of variables there that can impact that. Again, looking at it from that angle, they really start to break it down. And that's why, as I said earlier, we go to that proof of concept. And for the most part, the technology is proven. You can go into many major retailers today and you'll see the technology is deployed. Now it's already proven in the market. That's why you're seeing this adoption happen so fast. And now it's piloting and every store is a little different. But that supply chain officer, that chief supply chain officer, is basically going to look there and say, wow, now I really can embrace it and look at operational change from a different lens. I can see how this technology could benefit us throughout the entire supply chain process. And that's really what you're looking at when you're trying to evolve or cultivate this type of new way of doing business from a supply chain perspective, leveraging this technology or this component of technology. And that's how I see it. I see it again, you know, like I said, within the article, the people, they're going to change if they have it in them. And they can sit there and say what they wish and do as they wish. But at the end of the day, the data proves itself. The data stands for itself, you know, and you can't spell it. It's near impossible. I mean, of course, you can come up with something, but then we have an argument against that as well.
I think it's hard to argue against good objective data, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Living a data world. Gary, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate you sharing your expertise, experience, and insight. It's really been a pleasure to have you on our podcast. So thank you so much. Thank you again, and be well, and we'll have you on again soon for sure.
Yes, I appreciate the call today and the conversation, and look forward to any questions any listeners or anyone has.
Thanks, Gary. It's great. Thank you, Gary.
All right, guys.
We are incredibly excited and grateful to have our friends, colleagues, and mentors join us on our podcast. We have an incredible lineup of ERP and organizational change speakers, authors, professors, researchers, pioneers in the field, practitioners, PE partners, business executives, ERP vendors, and organizational stakeholders. So please join us on our next episode as Dr. David Olson joins us to discuss the role of business intelligence in supporting supply chain management and organizational transformation. Dr. David Olson is the James H.K. Stewart Professor and Chancellor's Distinguished Chair at the University of Nebraska. And before you go, please don't forget to click subscribe to our podcast so you can hear our latest episodes. We invite you to leave us feedback and a review because we want to make sure this is the most useful and insightful podcast you listen to. And to do that, we need your help. Jack?
Thank you, Jonathan. And thank you, listeners, for being with us this week as we, one, seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community. Two, contribute to the field of ERP organizational change. And three, bring research and practice closer together. Please join us again next week as we discuss the latest ERP organizational change research, practice, and stories. Our podcast will draw on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, and practitioner expertise and experience.
Till then, everyone here at Nestle & Associates and Invert Ventures wishes you a very happy week. Goodbye for now, and see you next time.